This KPCT podcast, sponsored by Clicker Expo. Take your training skills to the next level. The nation's top animal trainers work with you at Clicker Expo. For locations and dates of the next conference, visit www.clickerexpo.com or call 800-472-5425. That's 800-472-5425.
Chill Out Fido. How to Calm Your Dog by Nan Kinney Arthur, A Dogwise Training Manual. Chapter 4, Essential Training Concepts. There are many great books currently on the market on how to train and manage dogs using positive concepts. The purpose of this chapter is to provide an overview of these modern methods of dog training, which I believe are imperative to use when dealing with excited and or unruly dogs. You will need to understand these concepts before moving on to part 2 of this book, where specific training exercises to promote calmness and relaxation are presented. If you are not already familiar with positive training methods, you should take time to read over this material in the chapter and check out the recommended reading list in the resources at the back of the book. Realize that dogs are dogs. When people begin a journey with a dog, one of the most important things they need to realize is that dogs walk along a different path than they do. The way dogs do things does not always conform to what we humans prefer in terms of our own comfort and pleasure. Dogs are best at being dogs. They are not born understanding human rules. The key is to reward dogs in such a way that they do things that are more compatible with how you live your life, but also allow them the freedom to enjoy just being a dog. Dogs are good accountants. They use a cost-benefit analysis approach to just about anything. When told to do something, the dog asks himself, "What is in it for me?" This is the process dogs go through as they consider how to respond to the requests of humans. With that in mind, each time you respond to your dog's behavior, it provides him with instant feedback about whether he should choose that behavior again or not. What is the cost and what is the benefit? If you provide a benefit, it's more likely your dog will do the behavior again. If not, he won't. You are constantly training your dog whether you realize it or not. Positive training to relax your dog. Positive reinforcement training teaches your dog that when he does a behavior correctly, he will be rewarded for his efforts, much like the way you get a paycheck for doing your job. While positive reinforcement can be used to achieve all sorts of amazing behaviors with wild and crazy dogs, we're going to focus on rewarding calm and relaxed behaviors. Rewarding or reinforcement training is a very successful method with a strong scientific background supporting its long-term benefits. It is also a just and humane way of communicating to your dog what you would like him to do. The results of this style of training are easily seen as your dog is rewarded for his cooperation, and as a bonus, your relationship is strengthened. Simply put, positive reinforcement training allows dogs to be enthusiastic about experimenting and discovering what they need to do to make good things happen, in this case, relaxing. Using markers. Positive reinforcement training allows you to exploit the accountant in your dog by teaching him that if he does what you ask, he will get what he wants: food, toys, walks, petting, play, or anything else that matters to him. However, he has to know what he did right so that he will be able to repeat it. In other words, you need a means by which to tell your dog when he gets the correct answer. The way to accomplish this is by using a marker signal to let him know when he's correct. Otherwise, he won't understand what you want from him. Most dog trainers today recommend using a clicker to mark behavior. The clicker is a small mechanical device that, when pushed, makes a clicking sound. You click as your dog is doing a behavior you want. Clicking is always followed up by some sort of reward, usually food. Timing is very important, so the dog knows exactly what he did to earn the reward. If you want to explore clicker training in more detail, there are many good books and DVDs available on the subject in the resources. Clickers make the best marker signals since the crisp, sharp sound they make is an effective way to mark or capture a precise moment in time. It is important for your dog's success that he has a very clear way to know what he did to earn the reward that follows the marker signal. However, not everyone can have a clicker at hand all the time, and some people find them difficult to use. Verbal markers such as "good boy" are an alternative, but they can be too slow when you're trying to be precise. If you choose not to use a clicker, use a short, sharp word like "yip." It is a quick and fun thing to say and not used as much in our daily interactions with dogs. If using a verbal marker, try to say it with the same speed and tone each time so your dog doesn't become confused by the different voice pitches and connotations of speech. Rules for using marker signals. Whether using a clicker or a marker word, it's important that you play by the rules so your dog can really understand what you want from him. The first rule for marking a behavior is to click or say the marker word just as the behavior is being done, and then quickly follow with a food reward. It's important to do both so that the dog knows the mark means a reward is coming. Even if you marked at the wrong time, you still must reward your dog. If you don't, your dog will not always believe that a reward is coming, and he may choose to do something else that he finds more interesting or fun. Another rule when using a marker signal is to only use it one time, even if your dog did something spectacular. Otherwise, you are likely to make it unclear as to which behavior you want to reinforce. Try to avoid showing the dog the food reward until after the marker signal. The idea is that he will learn to offer behaviors, hoping he can get you to click or use your marker word. If he sees the reward, he may stop thinking about the behavior and get distracted by the sight of the food or the toy or whatever you're using that he finds rewarding. If you're using food as a reward, buy a small treat pouch in which to put your food rewards. That can help you refrain from holding food in your hand where your dog can see it. If using a clicker, make sure the click comes first before your other hand moves to give the reward. Many people make the mistake of using the marker signal as they are starting to give the dog the reward. That will have your dog watching your treat hand rather than listening for the marker signal. When he responds correctly to a verbal cue such as sit, you should mark the behavior with a word or your clicker and then give him the food. It is important that these be two separate actions so your dog learns to focus on what his body is doing and not the food in your hand. It can help to imagine that your hand is taped to your stomach or your hip, and the only way it can be moved is after the click or the marker word. Once you've rewarded the dog for the correct behavior, bring your now empty treat hand up again so he doesn't learn to watch the hand with the food. This time, think of your hand as if it's attached to a bungee cord. You reach down to give your dog his reward, and then your hand is pulled back up to your waist or hip once you pop the treat into his mouth. Practice this without him present to get the timing right. Finally, avoid using the clicker or marker word to get your dog's attention. Since the marker tells your dog when he has the correct answer, if you click or say your marker word when your dog is ignoring you, it will tell him that ignoring is the correct answer. Teaching him to pay attention in the first place would be the focus, and there are exercises in part two that will help in those areas. Let your marker word do the talking. Allowing your clicker or marker word to do the communicating with your dog is another essential consideration as you move forward. When you are instructed to add a verbal cue during the training exercises, what is commonly called a command, say it only one time and then allow your dog a moment to figure it out. If you keep repeating, your dog may learn that he should wait to hear sit, sit, sit multiple times before he actually has to sit, which for him is fine since he won't get his reward. This teaches your dog to respond slowly or to ignore the words until he feels like doing the behavior. This can only add more confusion to the process if, just as your dog was going to sit, you say sit again before he's able to finish what he'd started. The best way to communicate with your dog is to mark the correct behavior as it is in progress, which says to him, "Yes, you got the right answer, and for doing so, I'm going to give you a reward." If he does not respond within a reasonable amount of time to a verbal cue that you are sure he understands because you've been practicing the exercises, you simply end the training session with a release cue such as "all done." This will tell your dog he missed the opportunity for that reward, so he should pay closer attention next time you ask. If you want to give him another chance, wait a few seconds, change your position, and try again. You also need to think through what went wrong and why your dog was unable to do the behavior. Perhaps you trained too long. He's full, he needs a drink of water, or you're asking too much of your dog and he wasn't sure what you wanted. As you work through the following training exercises, you will find sections for problem solving, so be sure to read them if your dog appears confused or unable to do something successfully. Food rewards. As mentioned above, a click or another marker must be followed with a reward. The reward can be a variety of things. Food, a tummy rub, a chance to chase a squirrel, but for most owners, the easiest and most effective reward is some sort of food treat. Do consider that a reward is in the eye of the beholder, so find food rewards your dog likes, not what you think he should like, as long as the ingredients are healthy. Simply put, food equals survival for dogs, and nearly all dogs are willing to work for food. In fact, when given the choice of a free lunch or working for their meals, a majority of dogs choose to work. Using food during training reinforces good behaviors in two important ways. First, your dog gets to earn his food and satisfy his instinctive need to forage. Second, the food itself makes an impact on the brain, building and maintaining learning, which allows new behaviors to be retained longer and stronger. Once your dog understands that putting his hind end on the ground results in a tasty reward, he is likely to offer that behavior again. When you continue to pay off each time for sitting, he will quickly learn that sitting is a behavior that has great benefits and will offer it when he is unsure of what else to do. When first teaching your dog any new behavior or when beginning to work on modifying an old one, you should be generous with food rewards. If for some reason you resist using food rewards early on, as some owners do for various reasons, the dog misses building those strong neural pathways toward a new behavior. Without them, old unwanted behaviors may be allowed to surface when he is feeling stressed or overly excited. Stress hormones and established behaviors will always trump unstable and weak behaviors, and you might find your dog pulling the old behaviors out of his toolbox when under any kind of pressure. That's why it's so important to be liberal with the food rewards in the beginning. Early generous use of food also enhances muscle memory. Once that happens, your dog will be able to do the behavior without thinking. He won't have to think when he hears something like sit. It will be automatic, just like many of the things you've been doing for years, such as driving a car. You don't have to think when driving your car, and many times you'll arrive at your destination without knowing how you got there because your muscle memory took hold. People who are new to using food rewards will often ask when they can get rid of the food. It's a legitimate question. Since few people envision themselves carrying around a treat bag for the rest of their dog's life, even though it's not much different than carrying a poop bag when you go outside of the house with your dog. Others resist using food as a reward when training for any number of reasons, including their own food issues. Some are willing to try food as reinforcement, but are often unwilling to keep the reinforcement rate high enough to make a significant impact on the dog's thought process. This often happens because they don't have a detailed understanding of how and when to use food, so they worry more about overfeeding the dog than appreciating the value of using one of the most important resources in a dog's life as a motivator. If you reinforce heavily in the early stages of training, you will be able to lessen food rewards that much quicker. As you progress with your training, you can reduce food rewards, but only after the behavior is strong and well-trained in many different situations, i.e. has become generalized. If you use a trail mix of different treats when you train, you will hold your dog's attention that much better. Your dog is likely to be unimpressed if he gets dry kibble all the time. However, if you mix his kibble in with some high-value treats, and he gets one of those every now and then, he will gamble that the next reward might be one of the better treats and worth the effort to keep training. Look at the following list of food rewards and their approximate calorie counts. It should make you feel better that you're not going overboard with the food rewards. Most dogs will quickly burn the extra calories during training, and you can always reduce his total daily intake to make sure that he maintains his figure. Low value, 1/4 cup, typical dry kibble equals 90 to 125 treats and has 90 to 125 calories. Medium value, natural balance, log, 1 treat cut to pea size equals 1 calorie. Medium to high value treat, turkey hot dog. 1 turkey dog equals 80 to 100 treats and has about 70 calories. High value, cheddar or jack cheese, 1 ounce equals 90 to 100 treats and has 110 calories. High value, chicken or turkey, breast white meat, 5 ounces equals 80 to 100 treats and has about 80 calories. High value, Vienna sausages, 1 sausage equals 30 to 40 treats and has about 40 calories. Fading rewards and variable reinforcement. Fading rewards simply means reducing the number of times you use a reward, typically a food reward, while training. Variable reinforcement means varying the percentage of times a reward is given following a successful behavior. The key first step in reducing food rewards after your dog begins to perform a behavior reliably is to begin pairing verbal praise along with your treats. For example, you give a treat and say, "Good boy," at the same time. Your dog should listen for your praise as you have linked it to the reward. The second step is to periodically use verbal praise without a treat. Now your dog is listening for your praise in anticipation that a treat is coming. The anticipation is what becomes your strong suit. This is what Las Vegas was built on, the anticipation that if you put in just 1 more quarter into the machine, it will pay off. Once your dog knows a behavior well and can perform it in many locations and with many distractions, you can fade the use of your marker signal and rewards. In other words, you don't need to click and treat every time your dog sits for you. However, it's also important to pay off every now and then to keep your dog in the game and gambling. This time might be the time the reward happens, so I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing just in case. Here's an example of how you can fade the use of treats when using a verbal marker while teaching a behavior like sit. 1. Ask your dog to sit. 2. As his butt hits the ground, say, "Good boy," give a treat, praise, and treat paired together, and release him with a release cue such as "All done." 3. Ask your dog to sit again, but just say, "Good boy," without the treat, builds anticipation of the treat, and then release him. 4. The next time, give the treat after your verbal praise. Score! 5. Ask for the sit once again and give the treat again after your verbal praise. Score again! 6. Use just a verbal praise for a couple of rounds and so on until you are using only occasionally the treats but still getting good responses from your dog. You can also add in other rewards that your dog likes, such as asking him to sit when he does, saying "good boy" and throwing a ball or playing a little tug. You could also open a door, pet him, or allow him access to something like the car if he enjoys car rides. These are called real-life rewards, and anything your dog wants or likes can and should become rewards as you progress in your training. Reducing the use of food rewards should be a goal, but always be ready to go back to using more and better treats when you add more distractions, duration, or distance to a behavior, at least until your dog has a clear understanding that this is the same training as before, just in a different context. If a well-trained behavior falls apart when you go out into the world, that's information for you. It's time to help your dog by going back to food, usually a high-value reward. Once your dog has demonstrated that he can stay focused on the task at hand, you can then switch to a lower-value food as long as you maintain the successes you achieved with the high-value food in the same location or with the same distractions. Once you've decided to use fewer treats, bear in mind that never having treats again would be like asking yourself to give up ice cream or cake or other goodies. There is nothing wrong with using food to reward your dog. Just use it to your advantage to help him get better with his skills. Sometimes it's fun to give your dog a treat, just like it's fun for us to get unexpected rewards. Also, if your dog does something really amazing that you would like repeated, then food is the best paycheck you can give him and keep him in your employment. Your voice is a powerful thing to waste. As a means of rewarding your dog, your voice is an often overlooked tool, especially when getting him to relax. Most dogs fall into one of two categories: those who pay attention to and love to hear the voice of a pet parent, and those who have learned to ignore it over time. Obviously, you want to be in the first category, so you need to learn to use your voice at the right time to help in reaching your training goals. A dog in the first category has learned to love the sound of his owner's voice because it's connected with things that the dog enjoys most, such as, "Want a cookie? Want to go for a walk?" In other words, the voice is associated with things the dog enjoys. A dog who has learned to ignore his owner has probably heard the same old thing over and over again. "Rex, Rex, Rex, heel, right here, heel, 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 Rex." All the while, Rex is busy pulling to the nearest dog park to hook up with his buddies and wondering what the heck you are babbling about back there at the other end of the leash. Unfortunately, this can lead to the owner escalating the tone and loudness of his voice to this unresponsive dog, a situation which does not lead itself to a calm dog or relaxed human. Whichever category your dog falls into, rest assured your voice has meaning to him, so be sure to use it wisely. If he is doing something you want him to do, use your voice to reinforce him. On the flip side, if you don't want your dog to do something, be silent. If a behavior is not reinforced, your dog is likely to skip that one for behaviors that do work to get attention or what he wants. Body language as a training tool. Believe it or not, your body can be a great communication tool for training your dog. The way you stand, the way you move, as well as your stride, can tell your dog to come in closer, move away, or turn and leave the scene. As you've learned, dogs communicate with one another using their bodies, vocalizations, and some marking behaviors, so it's easy to imagine that our companion dogs are also trying to communicate with us in the only way they know how, Unfortunately, for all their effort to explain themselves, the Canine to Human Language Conversion Dictionary is not available, and a lot of information is lost in the translation from species to species. An important piece of training is how you hold your body, how you stand, how you present food rewards when your dog is in the correct position, and how you move around your dog. For example, dogs pay attention to our shoulders, just as they watch the shoulders of fellow canines, as a clue to which direction we would like them to go. If you and your dog face in the same direction with your dog's shoulders aligned with your leg at one side or the other, this tells him you are going to move forward. Clear enough. But if you lean over him while presenting a food reward or step toward him as he sits in front of you, he thinks you want him to go away. An often observed example of this is during leash walking. When your dog is in the correct loose leash stance at your side and your food reward is in your hand on the other side of the dog, if you turn and lean over to reward him, your shoulders push toward him. Your dog's reaction will likely be to move away from you. It's no wonder so many dogs choose to be out front all the time. They're confused by all of our mixed messages. If you think that's confusing, just think what it must be like for the dog when we face them while calling them to us. We are telling them with our body language to move aside or to go away by approaching them head on, but calling them with our voices to come to us. Way weird. As you begin training the upcoming exercises, you will get a sense of how your body will play a part in helping your dog understand what you would like from him. Less commanding, more rewarding. Dogs who are persistently manipulated with verbal commands, equipment, and physical prompting to perform behaviors, such as pushing them into a sit, become reliant on their pet parents to do everything for them. This is equal to doing a child's homework for him or her. A child might get better grades if an adult did his homework, but he sure would not learn the skills needed to function successfully in the world. This same concept is true for your dog. If you've been doing his homework via constant reminding or demanding obedience, telling him no all the time, and or using leash manipulations and physical prompts to keep him in line, he will not have learned the skills needed to function calmly in life. Dogs, like children, must learn to problem solve when life comes at them, and providing your dog with a motivation to perform behaviors through rewards will help him learn those skills. In order for that to happen, however, he will need a different, well-practiced behaviors that will give him the answer to the question, what do I do when fill in the blank? If your dog's current answer to that question is to spiral up and become wild, out of control, inattentive, or reactive, he has very few tools from which to choose. When your dog has limited number of tools, he will continue to use the ones that are most readily available and familiar, since those are the easiest to grab. If your dog's behavior toolbox includes impulsive or reactive behaviors and little else, he has no choice but to use the tools that have been serving him best in the past. For training to be effective, your dog needs to learn how to handle different situations without grabbing the old tools from his toolbox. Those old tools will always be there, but as you teach your dog that he will be rewarded for calm and relaxed behaviors, those old tools will be buried deep at the bottom of the toolbox, under all the new ones, making access to them difficult and unlikely. A note on how long to train. As you train with your dog, it is important that you don't overdo the amount of training. Science has shown that animals retain better when taught in short 5 to 15 minute spurts rather than long, drawn-out sessions. Dogs not only fill up on treats, they also get bored during long training sessions. If you overtrain, your dog will not be excited about doing an exercise the next time. If you stop before he gets full or bored, leaving him wanting more, you will have a cooperative dog the next time you train him. If you find yourself overtraining because you're excited about your dog's progress, simply count out 20 to 50 tiny treats and stop when they're gone. That will keep you on track with limiting the amount of time you train.
This KPCT podcast, sponsored by Clicker Expo. Take your training skills to the next level. The nation's top animal trainers work with you at Clicker Expo. For locations and dates of the next conference, visit www.clickerexpo.com or call 800-472-5425. That's 800-472-5425.